Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Gen. I'm Joel. I'm joined by Damien McDonald. It is Wednesday, 22nd of October. This is episode 384. I've got the fire on, Damon. This is the first time it's the season for it. So I've got lovely crackling smoky logs in front of me. Hopefully that doesn't jeopardize the audio quality, but it is very nice and warm and snuggly in here.
Ah, that sounds lovely. I would love to go there in the autumn months. Leaves changing out there?
Oh, yes. You better believe it.
Fuck yeah. Ah, that has to be just stunning. I can't imagine. Can't imagine living in that lifestyle of yours. That Super J-Cast Patreon lifestyle of yours. God damn.
The big bucks.
So for the wood, can I ask you this? Do you cut said wood or do you buy it pre-cut?
So we have a family friend who has loads of wood that he's got too much. He doesn't know what to do with it. So occasionally we go to his house and help him chop it and then take it home.
Oh, look at you. You're like a lumberjack. Fantastic. Yes. Lumberjack jaw. I love it. Do you wear, can I ask you this? Why am I asking? I should just ask you the question. Wearing flannel? You put on the flannel?
No, that's maybe what? I need to get that. That can be my Christmas present. Get some flannel for the wood chopping.
I have.
I'm not chopping it with an axe, though. It's a machine. It's a splitting machine.
Oh, piece of cake. There you go. Nice. What is the average temperature out there right now? And if you could do the quick conversion to Fahrenheit, please, because no one in America. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So it's about 10 degrees Celsius.
So I'm thinking like 50, low 50s?
Yeah.
Look at me go. That's beautiful. That's what we're talking about. I hate the summer. Fucking hate it. That's perfect weather right there. Perfect weather right there. Look at you. I'm so proud of you. Living the life. Oh, what I would do.
Interesting lifestyle.
I swear to you, I would just be like, oh, away from civilization. Well, not civilization, but you know what I mean. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Good for you. So proud of you. And
here comes Mally.
Ah, hello. Nice.
Hello, darling. Children sleeping? Fantastic.
Look at this.
The cat's gone out. He's gone for an adventure. He might have gone to the local golf club again, the golf center.
Getting any holes? Yeah, back nine. That is an amazing thing. That screenshot you sent me was unbelievable. How intelligent that little cat is, just fucking knowing where to go. And it's amazing. Just an amazing thing. Oh, life is so precious. Fantastic. And you have a big trip coming up right around the corner. Fantastic there. Look at you. You're just living the life. You're like, everything's just coming up roses for you. Fantastic.
Are you okay, Mally?
Oh, what's wrong?
She's sleepy. She's
aww.
She's a tired lady.
Well, tell her to take a nap.
Go and have a nap.
Yeah, go have a nap.
Just take a nap. No, she's got lots of things to do.
I understand. Very, very tough. She got wood to chop. Get out there, chop some wood, bitch.
Chopping the woods. No, she really enjoys that. It's her favorite thing to do.
Is it really?
You like chopping the wood at Ed's house.
Did I say?
No, you don't like it.
I didn't say anything. Don't make it up. I don't because my husband's not doing.
I went with you last time. We did it together.
Oh, yeah.
Is she busting your balls?
She is, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Better just leave her alone. This is not going to end well.
Nah, she's a little grouchy. She's a little cranky. A little cranky right now. Does she know that you're an internationally famous podcaster? Have you brought that up to her at all?
a trick question.
Does she know how important you are and what is happening right now? How people just hang on your every word? You could have all these ladies throwing themselves at you. Just to be around what is the Super JK. Like, you know, does she have any idea?
She has no idea. Total ignorance. Oblivion.
Terrible. Well, maybe we should teach her a lesson.
How can we teach her a lesson?
I don't know. We just go out and have like an orgy or something. That'll show her. Huh? No?
Maybe if I gate crash the official New Japan pre-Wrestle Kingdom podcast.
I told you I'd pay for it. Yeah, I don't think they would let you in.
No, well, I don't know. I like to think I have a good relationship with Chris. So me and Chris are friends. I like to think so. He'd let me in. He wouldn't let you in, though, because you're a bastard, but he'd let me in.
Son of a bitch. Well, I thought he didn't like you!
I don't know. I think he likes me. I don't think I've ever done anything mean to him.
Well, hasn't he done mean things to you?
On the road, okay?
I thought
extra work for me.
No, this is the whole Chris. This is the whole point. This is the whole thing.
Okay, right. Hit this. My approach to all the interactions I have with other people is, does it benefit me to make this person my enemy?
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, the answer is no.
Right. But I'm mad at him because of what he said to you.
What did he say to me?
Oh, my God.
I can't remember, David.
My hatred.
He's hurled at me so frequently from all corners of the fandom.
I know.
That's people who love New Japan, people who hate New Japan, people who work for New Japan, people who work for other companies. Everyone is just constantly hurling abuse at me that I can't even remember it. It's like it's water off a duck's back. So I can't. It's gone from my memory. I don't know who's been mean to. I'm just nice to everyone. I'm a nice guy, Damon.
You are. I think we both are. But this whole, like, now I feel like a fucking, this whole thing was over.
No, everything's good now. I'm friends with everyone. Everything is fine.
All right. So then we like Chris now.
I've always liked Chris. Chris is my buddy.
Oh, God almighty. Jesus Christ. Really? Because remember the clout chasing comment?
I have no recollection of.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Really?
Stop! Stop!
I'm ready to go to war for you. I am ready to take somebody out. I'm ready to fucking put my keys in my knuckles and knock out some teeth. And now it's for naught.
Opposite, I'm groveling in the DMs, like I'm so sorry, everyone. Not to anyone in particular, but just. On any given week, there'll be about three or four people I have to deal with the angry responses from. Just be like, no, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Really? Okay. Oh, all right. So then I guess I'm not angry with anybody. All right.
You've got someone you can be angry with, but we're not allowed to talk about that.
Oh, well, we can skirt around it. Trust me. I've already thought about ways to skirt. I'm blown away right now. I thought you. I was backing you up in this whole thing, and but everything's fine. All right.
I'm the diplomatic arm of the Super J cast. I'm the public relations person who.
You are. That's true.
Extend. Well, I'm not. Then olive branches to everyone.
I guess I'm not mad at anybody. I guess I'm not mad.
Burning bridges.
No, I have my friends back is what that is. That's what I'm doing. But if there's no,
I appreciate your loyalty. That touches my heart.
All right, everybody, we officially have no enemies. We have no enemies. No. All right, there we are. There it is.
We make peace with the AEW fans now.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't get that at all. Like, just, I don't get it. Like, I don't get that at all. I'll say it three times. Because we don't talk about AEW. We go out of our way to not talk about AEW. We go out of our way to not talk about WWE. We weren't fucking New Japan Pro Wrestling Podcast. What the fuck? What? Oh, I hate people. Everyone's my enemy.
We're WWE Glazers now, or I'm a WWE Glazer.
Yeah, for one fucking match. Oh my lord!
No, I'm leaning fully into it. I've got a WWE baseball cap on. I'm gonna edit in the little sort of intro ident thingy to the start of this podcast. I don't know how it goes. I know the what I don't know if it's that anymore.
Then I've not watched now forever. The Super Chick. Oh my goodness. Like truth be told, we don't care. We don't give a fuck. I don't fucking care. That's one thing I don't understand how you put it with that. Those mouth breathers. Just some of the fucking most poof, just buffoons.
It makes me feel powerful and important that I can upset so many people with a simple tweet, or
it is
sometimes
amazing.
Upset people without even expressing an opinion on a thing. People will just imagine what I think about a thing and work themselves up into a frenzy just thinking about what I might say about something that I am completely indifferent towards.
It's unbelievable. I find that whole interaction just laughable. Speaking of interactions that are laughable, are we on Blue Sky still?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Are we active on Blue Sky?
I put out the call for questions on Blue Sky and then forget to check it. So then after we've recorded, I see all the questions are like, oh, I don't know, I forgot.
I don't know why I thought of that. Like, I was like, I don't know, somebody mentioned something about Blue Sky, and I was like, what the fuck is a Blue Sky? And I was like, oh yeah, that fucking Twitter app thing. I was like, I wonder if we're still on that. Like, I just remember it being like, we're all going over here. And then it kind of faded out. Just fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Where would you like to take us, sir? Where you are the most important person in all of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling, Not just New Japan Pro, it's just pro wrestling in general.
I would agree. You know what? I would agree. Where would you? The exalted one. Where would you like
not
to
just pro wrestling, actually. I think just wrestling, all kinds of wrestling, pro wrestling, amateur wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling, sumo wrestling.
Nice. Thumb wrestling. You're up there, right?
Yeah.
Thumb wrestling. Definitely. Did you ever do that with your friends? You little thumb wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war. Kiss, bow, start now.
Nice. You got it. Yeah. All wrestling. Where would you like to go?
Sumo wrestling. Matt says, did you check out any of the Sumo London Basho?
I was going to ask you that.
There was one. It's what? Crazy. Like, they just appeared at the Royal Albert Hall. I was like, what? Why didn't anybody tell me?
I thought you knew. So I was like,
I didn't know.
I would see online stuff, and they're like, you know, crossing Abbey Road, and they're full.
Yeah, that was the best part. All their little tourist photos. They just look like having the best time ever. We got, you know, doing all that and in front of Big Ben and Paddington toys and having a pint of Guinness. It's just like these guys are just loving every second of this.
Fantastic. I felt like an idiot to even bring it up to you because I was like, oh, well, he knows, you know, and if he could go, he would go. And if he can't go, he can't go. You know, I'm shocked you had no idea. Shocked by that.
I heard the tickets were really expensive. I don't think I would have gone even if I had known about it just because I can't afford it right now. Like, I'm absolutely skimp. But
$10
patron. I've never been to see the Sumo live in Japan. I'd love to do that at one point, but I'd have to make it dovetail with a New Japan. Actually, maybe I should. Why bother making it line up with a New Japan show?
Right.
F New Japan. I would go just go and watch Sumo. I want to go.
Joe, that was a show 2 weeks ago. We can't do that anymore. We're
we like New Japan,
huh? Right? We like
and
New
all
Japan.
Its employees.
Every one of them. I swear to you, I was mad at Chris because I thought you had heat with him. But if like I'm dead serious. Like I have zero interactions.
Chris has been very gracious with his time with me. I've been picking his brains about certain things, and he offers me interesting insight. You know, he's not spilling any tea or anything. Very professional, being you know, good company man that he is. But he's often gives me perspective on things. Like we had a really interesting conversation about Evil around the G1 final time, and I was sort of asking him on the sort of stuff like that I might be missing as a Western fan, what the appeal might be for the domestic audience that I'm not seeing. And Chris is nice man.
All right. Then I am wrong. Very good. Maybe you look like a fucking fool, but all right. All right. No,
well, the listeners loved it. So there's that.
All right. Well, you know, it was content. That's for sure.
Disingenuous content.
That's all we do.
And likes.
Yeah, exactly. That pays the rent.
I'm having listened to Keeping It Strong Style, who have denied that they asked you for permission to start their podcasts because they say the dates don't line up. They said they started Keeping It Strong Style before the Super J cast even started. So
that's what I'm saying.
I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, I thought it was them. Maybe.
No, I don't think it was them.
No? All right. Who the fuck wanted to do a New Japan podcast? And I thought it was them. Maybe I'm wrong. All right. Man, I'm really fucking swinging for the fences here. and not getting anything. I could have sworn it was them. And if it was, okay, whatever. Well, you know what? They should have asked permission. All right, then. You know what? now that I think of it, you know what? They should have asked. No, I could have sworn that was them. Okay, then it wasn't them. But it was after me and Colin were like, all right, I think we're done. And it was in between that time, like the time that we ended and the time we started. I don't know who the fuck it was. All right.
Was it Wilfred Watches?
Motherfucker. Is he still around?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, wasn't he like a little pest guy? Wasn't that the thing that happened with him?
He might have been, but again, like my list of enemies is so long.
I know.
Defeated all of them. I'm just standing on an enormous pile of corpses. And
now I feel like after every show, you have to go like, he didn't, that wasn't, yeah. I feel terrible now. I really do.
The post podcast cleanup.
I'm so terrible. You must be like, oh, I just want to jump off a bridge after every show. I apologize. I keep it a strong silence.
Because then I see the Patreon money coming. And I'm like, it's absolutely fine. I happy to do it.
All right. I'm just a fucking clown. I could have sworn it was them.
Do you want to pick a fight with this week? Do you want to
Yeah, you know, who can I?
These guys are a bunch of wankers.
Nah, you know, I only listen to real podcasts, Joel. I'm kidding. I don't listen to any podcast. Who can we pick on now? I mean, that was it. I got to be honest, that was it. Oh, God damn. Right, you want to pick on how about the Gentleman's Podcast? The Gentleman's
the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast.
Yes, let's just get it out there. I don't think they make good hamburgers. I don't like them. No. I don't think they
insist upon themselves.
Yeah, they insist upon themselves. What does that even mean? They insist. I mean, who else is out there?
All the lads that run that, Thor and Toby and yes. Berman. Got no
terrible
them.
Nope, off. I'm mad at them because of what they said to you. That's what I'm mad about them. Gentlemen,
went way too far. Like when they started going after my family, I think that crossed the line a little bit. Yeah.
I think so. Some gentlemen, they are.
That was very ungentlemanly to the death threats, all that. It was, no. Come on, lads.
You want to go after Chris Samson? I can't even do that. I can't even do that. He's just too handsome. He's too handsome of a guy. Like, I'd just be like, all right, no matter what I say, you look like that, and I look like this. So, you know, you win. Jerk. Who else? Who else can we get? Nobody else. I cannot believe, like, my whole world has just crumbled. My whole angry world is just falling apart. I can't believe it.
I think I always maintain it is healthy to have a somewhat adversarial relationship with the thing that you cover.
Like, I agree.
Be buddy buddy with everything. We've got to be able to hold people to account. But I feel that with all the turbulence that there has been in New Japan over the last few years, I think we're on the same side, right? We might have had our differences, but we should be united in common cause against the common enemy.
Agreed. That's always been my stance. And when I feel that people are pulling away from that, that's when I kind of lose my mind a little bit. And that was also a core component of my issues. But again, you doing all this little fucking under the table, under being friendly when you could have just said, "Damon, shut the fuck up. I'm fine."
I probably should have done that. So that's my fault. I should have been like, "Wait, what? Sorry, what's this done?"
Right.
I should have been checking you
because I thought
I was just like, "Oh, I'm just going to let Damon cook."
Right. You went and made a sandwich. You know, cleaned up around the house a little bit.
Okay, but he's still going.
yeah. You're grading kids' papers. All right. Let's see here. All right. You're still going. All right. Good. Oh my God. Wow. That is a revelation to me. Let me ask you this also. Why am I saying? Can I? Who reached out to you from Strong Style and said that they didn't do that?
They were just talking about it on their show.
Oh, on their show.
Okay. They're very gracious about it. It was.
I don't know. I gotta now. I'm gonna look through my DMs, my messages. I gotta find out who it was. It's be like Dave Meltzer. well, I guess I'm wrong. All right, whatever. All right, I'm beating a dead horse. All right, very good.
I checked out some of the Sumo London Bash on the BBC, and I liked that the win. I think it was Hoshoryu was presented with a giant inflatable bottle of Kikkoman soy sauce.
Well,
I don't know how he managed to get that in his luggage.
Unbelievable.
He gave that to me. He's like, "Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, God. How that's going right in the trash through customs."
That went right in the fucking rubbish, right in the bin. Thank you, Pop, in the trash.
There was one thing that I've never seen before during the middle of one of the bouts. One of the Rikishi's mawashis, you know, their belt thing, started to come undone. Uh-oh. So they had to pause the bout and get the Rikishi to stop moving, whilst the Gyoji, the referee, had to go around and resecure it and tie it up.
Oh, God. What a terrible job that is. Oh, geez. Fucking nuts hanging out. That was at Royal Albert Hall, was it?
Yeah.
Nice. That's a nice event. Ah, that's actually a really, I can't think of a better venue to have. Ah, it's really, it sucks you missed that. I really thought you knew. A lot of assuming going on by me, and man, I'm 0 for 3. Fuck me. All right.
This is one of my favorite episodes already.
Okay, all the losses I'm taking, I know.
What should we talk about? I'm just going through the questions here, thinking if this can guide us. So we can talk Tanahashi rumored opponents. We can talk Super Junior Tag League. We can talk about the recent show that happened. I'll do that first. So there was a show on Sunday in Hokkaido. I don't expect many people to have watched it because it was just a house show, but it was New Japan Road in Ishikari, which is Taichi's hometown. So it was essentially a house show in Taichi's old high school. So this is a place where he's grown up and like had his PE lessons when he was a kid. So him getting to main event in New Japan show there was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it was quite an easy watch. There was only 6 matches on the card. So I just had it on in the background, and it was a lot of fun and notable for the collaboration with the talent from Just Tap Out, which obviously that's Taka Michinoku's promotion. And I have talked about those wrestlers before. I think it was on the Taka Taichi Despy Mania, whatever that show was, the last one that me and John Carroll talked about and talked about a lot of the JTO talent. So they were performing on this show, and we got some questions about these people. So we had a question from Andrew. He said, should New Japan sign Ryoma Sukamoto like Taichi seems to want them to? So for those who don't know, Ryoma Sukamoto, he was in the 4th match here. So if anyone wants a recommendation, I would go and just watch that 4th match just to see some of the talent that JTO have on offer. So it was Daiki Nagai, Hiromu, and Yota Tsuji against Ryoma Sukamoto, Bomber Tatsuya, and Thunder Masami. So Ryoma Sukamoto is like little buff boy. He's a bit like a more muscular version of Tomohiro Ishii. Shaved head, shaved eyebrows, and just like built like a brick shit house. So he's got a really unique look and wrestles the sort of typical powerhouse style. He's also an Animal Hamaguchi gym guy. So there's obviously like the connections there with the unaffiliated / Los Ingobernables guys. And it seemed like they were setting up future programs there. So that's definitely one to go back and check out, just to sort of see what he looks like. Just he's quite visually striking, just because he's very short and bald and muscular.
And so no eyebrows.
So I think he's a freelancer, actually. And he used to work in All Japan. So now he's very prominent in JTO. But it does make me wonder if it's a viable route to getting into New Japan, going through the JTO dojo, because they've got a lot of really good talent there. The other guy, Thunder Masami, he's got like that typical ace look. He's got, you know, the matinee idol good looks and just looks the part. And I think either of those guys would be nice pickups for New Japan, but I just don't know what the politics are for that, because the last guy, I remember this was back in like, what, 2018 with Shota Umino and Ayato Yoshida. I don't know if you remember him, but he was the ace of 2AW, and it seemed like they were setting up Yoshida and Shota Umino to be like kind of rivals because they were teaming together, and then it seemed to be setting stuff up for the future. But then for various reasons, he's never ended up in New Japan, whereas it seemed that was the direction for him. So I just think it would be really cool to have that as a pipeline of talent for New Japan, because I think there's a lot of quality in the JTO roster, particularly in the women's division. And obviously that's loose. The connection to that for New Japan is not strong, because you'd expect those people to, you know, maybe end up at a promotion like Stardom, because they've got a lot of really talented Joshi. Like there are 2 sisters, Tomoka and Azusa Inaba. They're really good. There's a wrestler called Aoi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, A-O-I, who wrestled on that show. She had a singles match with El Desperado, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, and she's got a really unique look and a lot of charisma. So like really a lot of good talent in their roster. And I think Taka Michinoku, from what I understand, is a pretty underrated trainer. So I think that would be definitely something that New Japan should be looking into. But I suppose it gets
it's better than that Australian. you know what I mean? Like I would think there would be a much more lucrative and beneficial pipeline for both.
I just suppose it's tricky for where do you slot these guys, because if you've had someone who's been working, you know, I don't know, like 5-10 years as a freelancer and working independence and all that stuff, like, and then I suppose the only thing on the table for joining New Japan is going straight back to being a young lion, like a young boy going back to the dojo, and maybe they don't want to do that. So I suppose it's a tricky one to navigate, because there's like a very clear path to joining New Japan, unless you are a really established name, like a, you know, Jake Lee or
Shingo,
Taichi Ishimori or Shingo or whatever. So yeah, it's a tricky one, but the talent is definitely there, and I think it would be very cool if Tsukamoto in particular were to get picked up by New Japan.
Yeah, I think it falls down to exactly what you were saying, in the sense of do I want to be a big fish in a small pond, or do I want to be a medium-sized fish in a larger pond? I remember one time, many moons ago, and I think this was a discussion I had. You know, I don't even want to say it was or it wasn't with anyone, because now I'm like, did this really happen or did I just dream it?
You just made it
everything.
Up.
Am I married? How did that? I don't think I am.
You misremembered it, and you're about to deeply insult someone. So go on.
Right. Right. Well, that one time I talked to Vince McMahon, and he was like, we were evaluating talent. No, absolutely. This was, I believe it was a conversation. My memory serves me, which it doesn't. But it was one Joseph Lanza. I think it was when we were at G1. And we were talking about different people, and he said something. And I was like, okay. Not blow it off, but like, makes sense. You know, if New Japan wanted them, they would already be there. To a certain degree, I large degree, I agree with that. So, yeah, I mean, it might be a combination of everything. Like, and trust me, I'm not a big fan of sign everyone. You know, the minute they get good, sign them. Because I truly do believe that there is merit and there is good things to be had with multiple wrestling promotions in Japan. Like, I think that's a good thing. So I'm not a guy who's like, well, sign him and sign him and sign him and sign him and sign him. In the same breath, though, if there's somebody that could fit a specific role or they have specific plans for, you know, I'm sure something can be worked out. But yes, I think if there is a way, as some type of feeder system or some type of way to get them involved more in New Japan stuff, I don't think I would have that. I wouldn't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that promotions like JTO exist, and, you know, I don't watch it religiously, but presumably Taka wouldn't be too keen on, you know, New Japan just like hoovering up all the best wrestlers that they've got. But I would just like to think that for the talented wrestlers there, that there is a path for them to make it to New Japan. So the noises that they're making makes me suggest that there might be some hope for that. So who knows? Watch this space.
Yep. Yep. I'm sure Chris will call you and give you the scoop.
I had a question about Chris. Matt says, can we give some love to Chris Charlton's noise after a big hit? Pops me every time. That is a good noise. Yeah. I like that noise. And also, on that show, the Ishikari show, Taichi formally dissolved Just Five Guys.
Oh, no!
They're gone. And every time I just think of Chris singing the, it's time for Just Five Guys, sometimes it's just four guys. So that's that. That's the end of it. The old team on the scrap heap.
How would that last? 2 years? If that? It doesn't even feel like it was that long. Wow. All right. Well, that's the end of that one. RIP. I don't think anybody's going to miss that.
Things couldn't get any worse now. Now this. We've got to deal with this.
I know. All those t-shirts. What are they going to do?
Okay. So Josh from WeWork Stiff says, long time listener, first time caller, just curious. Oh. Are you guys angling to become a Fed pilled podcast after your shameless glazing of WWE in the wake of your baseless Nakamura speculation? As Wiper says, now that this is a WWE podcast, how do you all feel about the current state of the world heavyweight title pitch with Seth Rollins injured?
I'm going to be very truthful. I don't think I've watched a WWE show in fucking ages. And when I say ages, like a complete show front to back, 5 years, maybe more. Like I just don't watch it. I just feel like there's better things on. And I'm not anti WWE. Like I probably watch more old WWE than anything else. And it's more WWF. Why would WWE or all right? So it's people who don't like WWE that are angry at us because there is some excitement in our voice over the potential of Hiroshi Tanahashi against Shinsuke Nakamura. Am I correct?
Yeah. So it's important to examine the evidence here. So WWE had a pair of shows at Sumo Hall last weekend, spectacularly bombed. The attendances were crap, which is funny in and of itself. But for the post-show in-ring promos, this is my understanding of it, Shinsuke Nakamura did a tribute to Tanahashi. He did the, you know, I love you thing. Mm-hmm. And then that was picked up by Tokyo Sports, who, as we know, often do a lot of the heavy lifting, the sort of kayfabe side of New Japan. And then Tanahashi himself tweeted, oh, I just heard something, as if in response to Nakamura giving him that little tribute. And Nakamura put out a tweet saying how great it was to be back in Japan. And then there was a little line at the end of his tweet that says, if only just one last time, ... Right. Which to me was hinting heavily at there being at least the possibility of running Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the retirement match on January 4th. Do you think that's a fair assessment of those bits of evidence?
From what I understand, correct. Yes, that would be an accurate description.
And to me, that's something very exciting because it's, I believe, would be a perfect retirement match for Tanahashi. Bringing their rivalry full circle. You know, they've been intertwined throughout their careers and started their careers at similar times and have, you know, really historic rivalry. And a lot of people have been saying things like, oh, for the Tanahashi retirement match, it's got to be one of the young guys. He's got to put over one of the young guys in the last match. But yeah, I disagree with that completely. And it's coming from a place of logic, but retirement matches are never about putting over someone else. The attention is always, as it should be, completely on the person who's retiring. It is there to be a celebration of them and their career and for them to enjoy the spotlight one last time so everyone can say goodbye to them as an active wrestler. There is no possible way where you can have just hypothetically like Yuya Uemura pins him and everyone's like, wow, Yuya Uemura is a star now because he pinned Tanahashi in his last match. People don't want that. People just want to throw flowers at Tanahashi literally and figuratively. So whilst I get the need to establish new stars, that's what the rest of the card is for. The rest of Wrestle Kingdom is to do that. But that match, right, Hiroshi Tanahashi's retirement match, is all about Tanahashi. He should be able to pick whoever he wants to wrestle. And I think resuming that Nakamura feud, like rivalry, one last time would be perfect because it's the nostalgia. There'd be the excitement there for the New Japan fans to see Nakamura again.
The time away, you know, the length of time.
Yeah, the pageantry to it, like hearing the subconscious entrance theme again, and I could just like imagine how electric the atmosphere would be. You know, the entrances, they'd be so spectacular, and seeing them sort of face each other in the ring one last time. To me, that would be perfect. Like, I can't think of a more fitting opponent for Hiroshi Tanahashi's last match.
Where's the problem?
Well, I don't want to sort of amplify a very small, unhinged, noisy minority of people online, but some
people have interpreted this as glazing WWE. So getting excited about Tanahashi versus Nakamura is apparently, in the eyes of some people, WWE glazing, which, I mean, I like to make fun of internet strangers as much as the next person. It's one of my favorite hobbies, Damon, but even that, just it seems too pathetic to even engage with. Like, I don't think there's any merit in unpicking that, because it's just preposterous.
It is just asinine. Like, I mean, my goodness gracious. One, obviously, they never listen. Never have. Nor do we want them to. Please never listen. I saw the tweet. It was the most innocent, positive thing that we probably have tweeted in months. And yet, and help me.
I'm not a single bitch to WWE for
correct
the record. Like, I'm doing this with the aside. Like, I don't know what the contractual situation is, but this is me assuming Nakamura would be done with WWE. His WWE contract expired, and now he is just free to do this New Japan match with no strings attached. Like, I don't know. No one knows what the contract situation is, but at no point was I saying, oh, thank you, Vince, for letting this happen. Praise WWE. They're the best. No.
Yeah. To come to that conclusion is really what a stretch. Kind of like his waistband. A stretch. that was terrible. You know what? That was a cheat. That was a little bit terrible. I'm fat too. So, but I can say that I'm fat. I don't like that. I'm shocked at that. Are you shocked at the fact that this match still hasn't been officially announced?
Yeah, that is a surprise. You'd think that is your big draw for Wrestle Kingdom. And the only conclusion I could come to, the fact they've not announced it yet, is because it's not finalized yet.
Right.
And I understand whenever you are trying to make plans with a wrestler who is currently contracted to WWE, there's a lot of uncertainty involved, because there's every chance WWE might just pull the rug out from under you for no other reason, just to fuck with you. Like the Jeff Cobb situation, just preventing him from working that final Otaku show just because they could. Now, that being said, there have been instances where they have played ball in the past, where they graciously allowed, Carl Anderson to drop the Never Tell to Tama Tonga at Wrestle Kingdom. So, yeah, cheers for that, guys. much appreciated. But, yeah, there's always going to be a level of uncertainty there. So I assume there's still a lot of moving parts with regards to whether Nakamura is actually available, or, you know, could be negotiating a price for him. Maybe it is all signed and sealed and they're just keeping it under wraps, and they want to announce it at the Tanahashi homecoming show in Gifu. They've decided that is going to be the most dramatic spot. Maybe it could be a case that Tanahashi didn't want to have that overshadowing what he's doing for the rest of the year. Maybe he really wanted to put his all into this match he's having with Yota Tsuji for the global title at the homecoming show, and didn't want the excitement of the Nakamura match overshadowing that and rendering that obsolete. So maybe he's just doing it. He just wants to wait till after the Tsuji match to announce it. So there could be all number of reasons there. But I do think there's something there, right? I don't think the two wrestlers themselves and Tokyo Sports would be shining a light on it and sort of being like, hey, look, something is happening here, if it was a complete pipe dream. Now, interesting I say pipe dream, because after all that stuff was announced, it seems that the Western media arm of the business, shall we say,
were
very quick to try to pour cold water on this. So I think it was Fightful had a report coming out saying, oh, yeah, it's been discussed internally, but it's just a pipe dream. It's not likely to happen. And then Dave Meltzer came out with something as well. And I was like, that's weird. Like, why are they suddenly saying this now? Because that seemed, it would seem very odd for, and actively misleading, I think. I think if it doesn't happen at this point, then a lot of questions can be asked about Nakamura and Tanahashi and Tokyo Sports for doing it, something, hinting at something that they didn't deliver. I think that would upset and make a lot of fans really angry and resentful to hint at something and then not deliver it. And that's not me saying that I think like it's 100% signed and sealed, but it did seem odd to me that Fightful and Meltzer were like, oh no, it's not going to happen. No, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. And I kind of thought, well, why are they saying that? And who's told them to say that? Who is it that is leaking information and trying to pour cold water on this thing that most New Japan, if not all New Japan fans, are really excited about?
The politics are dancing. The politics are feeling good. Now, keep in mind that I am being very deliberate with the words that I choose here, as Joel swallows and tugs at his shirt collar.
I'm just going to start drafting the apology right now.
Right.
No, I'm joking. We're purely speculating here. We know nothing, right? This has been kept tightly under wraps. We know nothing.
Right. Now, there has been plenty of
fried chicken, karaage, and the lemon sour in the Tokyo Dome. We've hinted at this, but I'm joking. I'm just doing shit.
I die again. The one thing that I mentioned possibly last week or week before was, it is amazing to me how everyone is very tight-lipped over this. Very tight-lipped. And it's not that big of a deal usually of, okay, yeah, this is our main event. Okay. No worries, right? Like, nobody's giving us the winners of G1, right? And away we go. But with other things of a similar ilk, it would be no problem. We ask, we get an answer. And we've gotten a lot of, not dancing around, but a lot of, I think it's this, or from what I understand, it's this, but not usual. And again, not to humble brag, but you talk to a lot of people, Joel. We both do. And like to a person, it's like, I've heard this. I've heard this. And where usually it's, yep, it's this. So that's what I think has us scratching our heads a lot, right? Politics in pro wrestling, once again, is a very, very, as I like to say, preposterous thing. It's crazy how so many companies are so concerned and want to have their say on Wrestle Kingdom's main event. It's pretty, pretty hilarious, quite honestly. So know that there are a ton of moving parts, and we've heard that from numerous people. If you're asking, put the Super J-Cast branded gun to my head, it's Nakamura, but I think there are still hoops that need to be jumped through, to make that happen. And you can imagine those hoops, what they might be to make happen, and who we have to make sure. Okay, do you have a smile on your face? Do you have a smile on your face? Are we still best buds? Are we still okay? All of that, needs to make everybody needs to feel a little content, which I find again hilariously absurd, but. Here we are in 2025. So, again, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out and do the math, but that's where we are right now. There are a handful of people that definitively know, and they have a very tight lip, which, again, I still find that to be odd to me at this point. So, the best thing we can give you is I'm not even going to say wig. I think it's Nakamura. From what we understand, a lot of people believe it to be Nakamura as well. But at this point, nobody has 100% confirmed that it's Nakamura.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
And you mentioned things like, oh, no one tells us who's going to win the G1. It is interesting that there were heavy hints and rumors about who was going to be at least featured heavily in the G1, if not outright winning it. And we know who it was. We know who it turned out to be. So again, it makes me think, well, there's the track record of certain organizations leaking information tactically to try to promote or to dismiss
wet blanket
stories. Yes, yeah, put wet blankets over stuff. Like you'll remember Evil in the G1 final, suddenly a little news story popped up saying, oh, a certain someone saying, oh, I had nothing to do with that. Excuse me, where did that come from? Who accused you of this? Why are you saying this now? So that, yeah, seeing those Fightful and Dave Meltzer saying, oh, it's just a pipe dream, did raise an eyebrow to me and make me think, it seems that there's someone who doesn't like this idea and is trying to put a wet blanket over it. And I can kind of understand why, if I squint, like maybe they resent the possibility of collaboration in the loosest possible sense with WWE, even though I think, you know, from all the contractual stuff I've heard, it appears that Nakamura might be wrapping things up with WWE. All the stuff that other wrestlers are posting, photos with them and stuff, seems to me to suggest that he might be ending his time in WWE and might be a free agent soon. So I can't really make sense of it myself, why people might be upset or resistant to the idea of Nakamura being Tanahashi's final opponent. But again, those two reports appearing for Dave Meltzer and Fightful made me think, someone doesn't like this. Yeah. Now, personally, I think the person who gets to decide Hiroshi Tanahashi's final opponent should be Hiroshi Tanahashi. And anyone else who thinks that they should have a say in who Hiroshi Tanahashi's final opponent is, that are not employees of New Japan Pro Wrestling, should probably go fuck themselves.
In not so many words, yes. I agree. I mean, the fact that you would have the audacity to think that, like, anyone would have any stroke in that. Again, there's a big difference between a contracted wrestler, hey, we want to use them on our show, can we use it? I mean, that's, you got to do that. I mean, just legalities are there. That's why there are contracts. But again, just again, I don't want to be throwing like just nonsense out in the air just for nonsense sake. But know that when we're in this mode, when Joel and I are in this, how are we going to talk about this one? when we're in that mode, I want you to understand why we're in that mode. There's a reason for us to be in that mode. So again, we have very intelligent and smart listeners. right? Maybe some of the most intelligent pro wrestling fans to listen to our dumb show. Why? God bless. So you could put two and two together.
Breaking news, Damon.
Uh-oh, what's that?
I've just seen a tweet going up from Tokyo Sports, which says...
Go ahead.
It says, Shinsuke Nakamura explains the true meaning behind quoting Hiroshi Tanahashi's signature line, I love you.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So...
Get out that says, Google Translate.
Day, I was able to do what I had to do on the first day and say what I had to say. On the second day, as a friend and a rival, I'm glad I was able to support AJ Styles' special feelings. AJ is not going to retire tomorrow, but he will be retiring. On the occasion of the retirement of Tanahashi, who was called a lifelong rival, there are many fans who hope to reunite with Nakamura on the ring. I will love you. When asked the truth, he said, you say you love Japan, don't you? Ha 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 ha. And it says ha 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 for an entire paragraph. Well, Mr. Tanahashi also became a strange form. I stretched a smoke screen. it's just a very bad translation. I don't think this is adding anything at all.
So he's saying he was just kind of doing it. But who knows? You know what? At this point, I don't fucking care anymore. We'll say. There's again, Listen, just know that.
I hope
we're trying.
If it doesn't happen, I'm going to be gutted, honestly, because I'm sick of New Japan getting sort of stuck in the middle of a Yankoid wrestling proxy war, to be honest.
I know. Trust me. I texted you. We were conversing about this entire situation, and I hate pro wrestling quote partnerships end quote. I hate them. They never work out. Somebody is always somebody's bitch. Like on paper, it sounds better than it actually is. Like. And I get it from a New Japan Pro Wrestling perspective. It's like, all right, you know, we can get a nice couple, you know, probably more than one a year, nice little fat gate, split that up. However, I'm sure they look forward to getting that check. I can't stand it. I hate them. And I mean that from a NOAH perspective. I mean that from an AEW perspective. I mean that from a TNA perspective. I mean that from a Ring of Honor perspective. Like it just always seems to be not as good as it could be. And there's always fucking schoolyard politics. And it's like...
Right, I found a better translation here. It's quite cryptic now. It says, when asked about the meaning behind his I love you line, Nakamura laughed. It just means I love Japan, you know? Ha ha ha. Come on, Shinsuke Nakamura wouldn't say something so dull. He smiled mischievously, then added cryptically, quoting his mentor, Antonio Inoki, I'm doing what I can, but just one step ahead. Anything can happen. He continued with a grin. Tanahashi's gotten quite the playful figure lately.
Oh, he's so playful. Playful. All right. There you go. What else do you want? What other confirmation? I feel it's Shinsuke. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We have not been told 100%. We've had people tell us we think it is. My understanding that it is. But no, nothing has been, nothing is a lock. But to me, it feels like that's where it is. I'm going to ask, glazing means I'm pro something. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I have a totally definition and a different definition of glazing. okay. Then well, I'm not. So go fuck your mother.
Is it? I'm curious now what glazing actually means.
In the way that I understood it to mean, or the way that it is mean. I thought it was like shooting ejaculate on
that's
top
what
of
I thought as well. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe some people have heard of it as a pearl necklace, maybe. but yes, that's like when I first heard that getting tossed around, I was like, what? What are you talking about? And then I had to like, I don't know, somebody had to clue me in on what the fuck it meant. And then I was like, 6'7"? 6'7"?
Oh, God. Can, yeah,
all right. Thanks, everyone. That's the end of the podcast. That's yeah. where we end up.
What is that? Now, right, when I'm teaching and it comes.
Oh, they're like, doing that?
Like a math lesson with 67 or 6 or 7.
Oh, they lose their mind, don't they?
And someone will be, oh, 6'7". And then I just stop and I just try and draw as much attention to it to try and make it uncool and unfunny. And I'll be like, oh, right. 6'7". There's that popular internet meme that's 6'7". Is it? Look, that's so funny. It's like the internet meme, guys. Isn't that cool? And then they're like, oh. So I'm just trying to ruin it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But all the teachers just need to have like a little assembly and do it like on a stage and like a little one-act play or some shit. Yeah, that'll totally kill that for that school. Yeah, I would just be honestly, if I were in your shoes, I'd be like, all right, anybody pulls that shit, you're going to write a 6,700 word essay on why this is the dumbest fucking thing on earth. But okay. All right. So there you go. Nakamura.
Okay. Let's talk Super Junior Tag League. That starts tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Exciting.
Matt says, I know it's never exactly been prestigious, but is this the sorriest junior tag league in recent memory? They've got Taguchi main eventing Korakuen. So,
yeah,
it's going to start. So, it starts tomorrow. It's Thursday, October 23rd, Korakuen Hall. Then they got Friday, Korakuen Hall. Saturday in Saitama. Sunday in Niigata. Day off on Monday. Tuesday, Niigata. Wednesday, Niigata. Thursday in Fukui. And then day off on Friday, and then Saturday, Osaka, Edion Arena. So this is a very dense tour. They're not taking much time off here, which is probably not a good sign if you're expecting fireworks in the ring, because I doubt people are going to be have their working shoes on for this. And I've said, it's always the case for the Super Junior Tag League. I watch like the first couple of shows at Korakuen, and the main events are good. And I'm like, oh, this tour's going to be good. Everyone watch it. And then it's crap for the rest of the tour until the final. So we have the first show has, it's pretty much all tag league matches apart from the first match. And the main event is Kukai and El Desperado against Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles. So that one looks quite good on paper. Like, I like what I saw from Despy and Kukai. They had a junior title challenge against Doki and Show, and you know, with the House of Torture shenanigans notwithstanding, I thought they did a pretty good job there. So I think that match would be worth watching. But then on Friday, the main event at Korakuen Hall is Dragon Diarrhea and Taguchi against Show and Doki, and I have no interest in watching that one. So yeah, no. I can't say I'm particularly enthralled by this one. I mean, I suppose we can do the usual thing and just have a look at the block, the lineup of the final block matches, and sort of try and eke out some predictions based on that. So if we are fast forwarding to Thursday, October 30th, where we're going to get the final round of A block matches, we have, in no particular order, so the match order is going to come later, Master Watto and Yo against Sho and Doki. So presumably that one's going to be to decide who the winner of A block is.
Yeah, I would think. That's it. That's all I got. I would think that would be correct.
I was about to follow up and ask, who do you think it's going to be? But I don't care who you think it's
going to be. None of those teams are particularly sexy. Yeah. I don't, yeah, that's
for the
not,
sake of
not,
match quality, I'd go with Watto and Yo, but Sho and Doki, they're not terrible. Like, Doki still puts a shift in. I still think Sho is incredibly lazy, but on the sort of sliding scale of how awful and unwatchable House of Torture is, they're probably on the more palatable end, but I would still rather see Watto and Yo, although the prospect of Watto and Yo in the final, I'm not like rubbing my hands together like, yes, I can't wait to see these guys in action, because they both just feel ice cold at the moment. But I hope it's Watto and Yo winning the A block.
I can't believe we're both sitting here saying that. I hope it's Watto. And I mean, you couldn't pick two guys that I like the least on a team, but I'm rooting for that. Yes. Okay. And then block B.
Well, I'll just tell you the other A block matches on that final night. Yeah. So there's Daiki Nagai and Clark Connors against Jacob Austin Young and Templario. I mean, I suppose you can't rule out Daiki and Clark Connors, but
nah.
I'm ruling out all both of these teams. I don't think they're going to be in the mix, to be honest.
Agreed with you there.
And then the other match is Dragon Diarrhea and Taguchi against Hiromu and Gedo.
You would think Ghetto is there to take falls, but...
No, he's not. He's going to give himself a mega push on his way out of the
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Like, would they go through the whole rigmarole of having this pseudo kind of allegiance, absorption, whatever the fuck we're doing here, with unaffiliated and Bullet Club /... But you know, Wardlow, whatever the fuck. I wouldn't be surprised if they go deep. I don't. There's something about that. And I'm not saying win the whole fucking thing. I'm not saying. I mean, you would think he's there to lie there and look at the lights, but there is a small part of me that's like, well, if they're gonna make it interesting, they probably will have them go a little bit deep. I would not be surprised. New Japan's not one to be like, all right, this team's completely shit in the bed. You know, they're going to go over. They're going to get some wins. And I think with this new spotlight on this allegiance, that could spell trouble. I don't think anybody's, I don't know. It's such a weird pair that I'm kind of into it. I'm kind of into it. I don't know. Do you think they're in the mix?
No, I'm stunned and genuinely surprised at how optimistic and generous you are being towards.
Well, listen, that's me. You know me.
thought it just looked like a kind of slapdash, hand waveable team, but now you kind of get me into it, and I'm thinking, maybe they are worth keeping an eye on. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, again, I just think it's something to throw out there. I just love it—the fact that it's this time of year, so you can say "Dragon Diarrhea" again. That warms my heart. You know
my
what?
Favorite joke.
Yeah, it is fantastic. You know, it's the cool weather and Dragon Diarrhea jokes. Fantastic.
And then on the final B block night, in no particular order, we got Kukai and El Desperado against Yuki Yoshioka and Kushida. That might mean something. Yuki Yoshioka, I believe, is half of the Dragon Gate Tag Champions. There's also the Ichiban Sweet Boys, so Kosei Fujita, Robbie Eagles, who were last year's winners, against Robbie X and Taiji Ishimori. And Yamato, who I believe is the other half of the Dragon Gate Tag Champions. It's weird. They got the Dragon Gate Tag Champions, but didn't have
them
tagging together. They split them up, right? It's bizarre. Yamato and Tiger Mask against Dick Togo and Kanemaru. So it does seem that Fujita and Eagles against Robbie X and Ishimori for top spot, although I'm not ruling out Kukai and Despy. I think they might be in play as well.
I think they're in the mix. Yeah. Imagine that conversation. All right, we're going to do your junior tag, but we got to split up because nobody's doing the job here, man. No. You know, that conversation. We're the tag champs, man. We can't lose. B block doesn't sound that sexy, dude, does it?
Neither block sounds sexy to us. No. I don't think there's one good team, and that's Fujita and Eagles. And
yeah.
I don't know, like I would be sort of leaning towards maybe a Fujita Eagles against Watto and Yo final. But I kind of feel that Fujita should be in the mix for the junior title at Wrestle Kingdom. So I would want to keep him away from the junior tag titles.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. All right, so give me a winner.
Christ.
Yo and Watto?
Watto and Yo. Yeah, why not? Who cares?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm zero buzz. I mean, look, and I was going to say, at least the matches, but the way that you laid out that schedule, I mean, they're cramming 5 pounds of shit in a 3 pound bag. Yeah, you would think they can't, I mean, just physically, you can't expect them to go balls out like on an absolute sprint like this. Whew. Yeah, this one's going to be, I mean, maybe they surprise us and they pull fucking magic out of a bag, but man, that's some unsexy shit right there. I'm going to say unsexy.
Yeah, I'll check out the Korakuens. I'll watch the block finals, and of course, the final is always going to be pretty good. And that's on the Tanahashi retirement show. So November 2nd. I can't wait. I'm really excited about that one. Just because I want to find out who the final opponent is.
Yeah, who's Tanahashi got that night? I forget.
Suji.
Suji, that's right. That's right.
And there's also Takeshita versus Goto for the world title on that.
Right. That should be a fun show. I think, yeah. And you would think all the I's dotted, T's crossed, they announced that. That'd be something. I hope so. I hope it's not disappointing.
All the relationships break down, like it all go, the politics all goes to shit, and they have to book Goto to beat Takeshita. Made of a Wrestle Kingdom. Things have gone sour.
Oh, it just fucking falls apart at the last minute. Oh, that'd be something. Wow. Yeah, I mean if that happens, you know the shit's hit the fan.
Purely hypothetically, Damon, how would you feel about? And I only bring this up because other podcasts were discussing it, Damon. That's the only reason I bring this up. How would you feel about Okada being Tanahashi's final opponent?
Yay!
Right. You remember that?
Yeah, his little his triumphant exit from the company. Tanahashi and Okada is, if not the best, it's in my top five favorite feuds of all of wrestling. Like so much great pro wrestling between those two guys in the same ring. I can't sit here and tell you that I have no interest in it. I can't sit here and tell you that the idea of having Okada in that spotlight match is terrible. It's not. I kind of don't want that. And that's not me glazing WWE. I just feel like, I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Nakamura has been away for a longer period of time. And I don't know. I just think it'd be a lot more, and pardon the lack of a better descriptive phrase, magical than Okada. Even though, again, it's one of my favorite in-ring feuds of all time, it's kind of like, you know, Flair and Sting getting in the ring now. That's a terrible analogy, but you get my point. I don't know if that the Nakamura thing just feels a little bit more, it feels bigger, it feels stranger, I guess, more different. And I don't, the history, and all the things that, like, if you were going to sit there and say, okay, let's do the checkbox of Nakamura, Okada, boom, 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 and all the things that both guys, all the checkboxes that will hit, the one thing that give me the edge for Nakamura is the length of time being away, the majesticism of it. Whereas I feel like while Okada brings an unreal mega main event element to a match, I don't think people would be as excited. I really don't. And I'm not saying that they would be sitting there on their hands being like, oh, what the fuck is this shit? But no stretch of the imagination when they say that. I just think the grandeur of the event is Nakamura and Tanahashi. I do. I'm not going to complain if it's Okada.
I will.
But I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be disappointed.
That would really piss me off.
Really?
I've still got a sour taste in my mouth for the way he went out of the company.
Honestly,
I was rewatching it. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like absolute coward shit to be going out like that. And the lack of understanding of what made him a star in the first place, which, make no mistake, Hiroshi Tanahashi having the vision to pay it forward and to stare at the lights for Kazuchika Okada and help make him look like a star. And for him to then refuse to do that for anyone else on the way out of the company, that still pisses me off, man. I'm still not over that.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I definitely hear you.
And I don't want to see that guy welcome back with open arms to get the biggest match on the biggest
show. That's the thing too. Yeah.
In New Japan recent history.
Yeah.
That's the prime spot. That's the spot everyone wants. And to give that on the guy to the guy who, let's be real, like fucked over the company on his way out. No, that's unacceptable to me. And I would be really disappointed if New Japan and Tanahashi let that happen.
But if you didn't know all that, would you still prefer Nakamura?
Have you watched any Okada recently in AEW, Damon?
Truth be told, I have not.
Yeah, he's not tearing off any trees, let's put it that way.
All right, but is Shinsuke?
No, but again, there's a whole different confluence of factors there. Like you've laid out what makes Shinsuke so appealing.
Yeah. If I'm trying to be as objective as possible, I think match quality wise, you're pretty much getting it's pretty neck and neck. And on any given day, one guy could be better than other and have a better match with Hiroshi Tanahashi in the shape that he's in. Like, I don't think you're going to get a better pro wrestling match with either guy, right? I just think, again, I think the length of time he's been away, and trust me, Okada has that. Like he has that aura and presence. I don't know. I just want a different vibe, I guess. And that's not an anti-AEW statement. Like, if it were Okada, all the things that you said, I 1,000% agree with. But there is a big part of me that wants to put my fingers in my ears and be like, just shut the fuck up, brain, and enjoy this. For whatever it is, I would prefer Nakamura in this role. And all the things that we do know. And even all the listeners that know probably 80% of what we know, and the other percent has to come out in the book because we can't really talk about it. That really makes me want Nakamura, to be honest with you. But I'm okay if it were Okada. I still think it's Nakamura, though. Watch it be Scott Norton.
Honestly, I'd rather it were Taguchi than fucking Okada.
Oh my god. No, you don't. You really don't. You would lose your mind if they were like, it's Taguchi, Funky Weapon. You would lose your mind.
The homecoming show, epic match with Yota Tsuji. Tanahashi's like, question on everyone's lips, who's it gonna be? My final opponent. Been waiting all year for this one. Finally ready to announce it. He points down the ramp. Crowd losing their minds.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, he was at Sumo Hall, Nakamura. He was like, there are pictures of him incognito, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong in that? Like, he was in the crowd.
I saw pictures of Tsuji incognito at the WWE show at Sumo Hall.
Okay. I thought it was, maybe that, like, you know, I don't even want to say because I could get it wrong and then I'm going to fuck up everything and they're going to be 0-5 and I don't want to do it anyway. I don't want to keep taking these losses. I thought I saw that, but I could be wrong. Okay, so let's scrap that from the record. Let's remove that. Counsel, please strike that from the record.
Okay, so let's do some questions before we get out of here. All right. Kevin says, what's the story with TJP? The fact that he's strong tag champs with Templario, and yet Templario is teaming with Jacob Austin Young in the Super Junior Tag League makes me think something is amiss. And David says, has the sacred integrity of the prestigious strong tag team titles been compromised by TJP doing coaching for WWE? Yeah, that looks like he's done with New Japan, doesn't it?
I mean, from a flyover to Japan kind of thing, I think gets the ice is pretty thin. Let's put it that way. I'll never say never, but yeah, it does feel like at this point, both sides are kind of frustrated with each other. And again, it's not like I'm on the phone with TJP, but from the outside looking in, that's kind of what it feels like. But I'm sure he'll hit you up in the DMs and set you straight. Yes.
Do you want to insult him as well? Just as...
No.
I'm joking. All right. Okay, what else we got here?
He did reach out to me and said, hey, is it all right if I wear a mask and have this? And I was like, absolutely not. And he did it anyway. So I am a little sore at him.
Oh, no, because I heard that you actually gave him the idea for the Aswang. And
I was using it in my house. And I think he got wind of it. And she's like, Dave, can you take out the trash? And I was like, I turn into this big creature, mystical thing. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's why anytime my wife asks me to do household chores, I missed her.
Wow. All right. Glazing, right? Oh, no. That's not it. Okay. All right.
So Comb Factor says, how long do you think Doki will be a double champ for? That is an interesting one. Like, I wonder if they're deliberately doubling people up with championships to avoid having them defended at Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but we did hear that Wrestle Kingdom is going to be not as many matches on the show. That is actually,
yeah. I think that's just sort of based on the fact that it's going to be on TV Asahi. So I doubt it's going to be like a 5-hour blockbuster main card. Like, I think conventional wisdom dictates it might be a bit tighter, a bit leaner, shall we
yes.
say. So yeah, that's making me think maybe he is still a double champion. I don't know. I don't see the value in that personally, but
yeah. Yeah. You would think that if they were champions of anything, they would be defending those titles. Every champion should be, but it may not work out that way. So I'll give you a solid possibly, definitely maybe.
Okay, Mini Yuya says, I was pretty sure on Shota versus Zach at Wrestle Kingdom, as much as people might not want it. Do you think Shota will be in the tag scene at Wrestle Kingdom, though? Feels like we don't have many shows to build important matches from now to Wrestle Kingdom. It is interesting that there's quite a few big names in flux who've not got anything clear, any clear directions from Wrestle Kingdom. It's almost like they're sort of hovering on standby if they're needed to be plugged into things. So I'm thinking about the likes of Goto and Zach, who have been holding the world title for most of the year between the two of them. So they've both got nothing. So it kind of feels like, are they sort of just being kept on standby in case shit goes bad with other plans they've got? I don't know. Shota Umino. Oh yeah, the question was about Shota. Is it going to be Shota versus Zach? I think Shota should stay in the tag stuff. I would love to see him and Yuya having a nice, hard-hitting, energetic tag match at Wrestle Kingdom. I think that would benefit both of them. And I mean, actually, I had a question here from Joe Gagne, which was, I think he asked this even before the Shota and Yuya tag team came about. He said, should New Japan have two of the young guys team up, win tag league, and get a run with the belts? Tanahashi and
That's
Nakamura.
That's what I'm thinking.
That in 2004-05, or does that not matter enough in 2025? So it's very prescient for Joe to ask that question. And again, I think that was before the Yuya Shota tag team. So yeah, I think that would be a really nice spot. And I know there might be sort of the optics of having Shota as the main eventer last year and then being like, oh, look, he's only in the tag match now. But if he's good at it, like he was really good in that match against the Knockout Brothers, I think that's the match. I think that should be the WrestleMania match.
I agree. Yep. I agree 1,000%. And all four of those guys, you know, why give them unneeded pressure? Let them fucking do what they do good, and do what they do well. All four of them. I think that should be the heavyweight tag title match. Yep, those four guys. Yes, absolutely.
Burning Hammer says, is it obvious that Goto will lose against Takeshita, and will that lead to Takeshita versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom? Oh, fuck me. Ooh. To me, Goto versus Takeshita at Wrestle Kingdom would have been more 50-50 in terms of who could win, and therefore way more interesting than doing it immediately. Look, as things stand, I do think Goto is losing to Takeshita, although I feel like that's kind of a nuclear button. Like, again, if negotiations go really sour, then they can always be like, oh, we're putting the title back on Goto and we'll do Goto versus Tsuji at Wrestle Kingdom. And I think that'd be perfectly fine. Like, it might not be the most exciting option, but I can't rule it out. So I would say like 95% that Takeshita beats Goto. I don't think, please God, it doesn't lead to Takeshita versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. I think it's going to be Takeshita versus Yota Tsuji. But yeah, Goto is an interesting one because like he's coming off the back of what was a really well-received run with the world title and the Street Fighter stuff. Like, it would be weird for him to have nothing at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, I know he was sort of talking about having a AEW challenger. Maybe that's Okada. Like, if Okada is not the Tanahashi opponent, maybe they do an Okada-Goto special singles match. I don't know. Would you be interested in that?
I have no problem with him being on the show. I really don't. But I'm thinking more of long-term as opposed to a short-term fucking boner for a 15-minute match. And given his past history and all the shit that has gone down over the years, like, do we really want him on this show? Like, again,
the last guy would want Goto.
No, he's not lying down to Goto. You think you honestly think he's lying down to anybody?
No,
me neither. It's just not happening. So no, I'm good. I'm really, and this is coming from a guy who pants were fucking down nightly to fucking Okada matches. I'm good. Talk to me next year. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good. We don't need it. There are three things that... Well, never mind. I'm good. Totally fine without him on the show.
Dogfinger says, the terribly named unaffiliated and War Dogs are now friends. Is this a suitable build for the Tokyo Dome? Honestly, like, it just feels to me they did that to try to get together these random teams to make Super Junior Tag League work. I know that I'm being very cynical about it, but it just feels like something fell through and they couldn't get someone that they wanted. And they're like, oh, fuck, we've got to put together some random teams now. Hiromu and Gedo, okay, let's have War Dogs and Unaffiliateds having an alliance. So that's right. My really negative interpretation of events.
Yeah, I mean, what's the end game with this? You know what I mean? Like, where does this go? Like, a merger of some kind? It's too weird to be good. You know, there's a lot of weird things that you're just like, oh wow, that's crazy. This is just like, right, it does feel a little bit slapped together at the last minute. We'll see, but it's just one of those, you put, you know, chocolate in my peanut butter, you put peanut butter in my chocolate, and even even I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know. It doesn't make much sense. But neither did that analogy. But okay, there you go.
Nathan says, does anyone feel like the Never Division for both the six-man and singles titles are at stalemate through repeating cycle / lack of challenges? For example, Evil get yet another Neville title run when it could have been used to elevate the likes of Oiwa through being bolted instead.
We're not elevating. We're not like we're not in the business of elevating. like New Japan is not in the business of elevating. We've seen it for countless years. I'm not going to yell and scream about elevating anyone. We're not good at it. Or let me. We're not. New Japan is not good at it in the eyes of Western fans. It's either rocket ship, and that's used incredibly sparingly, or it's slow burn central, and we take two steps backwards to take one step forward. And here's another thing too: the Never title is not a springboard to superstardom. It just isn't. In fact, I would go so far as to say the Never title might be one of those things that might be handcuffing people. So. Don't get upset over the Never title and who holds it and who doesn't. I don't want a young, talented wrestler to be holding the Never title. I'm okay with that.
Aaron Wolf's going to win it at Wrestle Kingdom.
Do you think, let me ask you this, does he win?
Well, he said that he's going to put his Olympic gold medal up as well.
Oh, ooh. Okay. Well,
which of course to me is screaming some yeah. kind of situation where Evil wins it or steals it and then is going around declaring himself a Japanese hero, an Olympic gold medalist, releases a line of merchandise of cool shirts with Evil Olympic gold medalist all over it. Like that, that seems to be the direction, in my mind at least. That's the sort of terroristic booking that New Japan would do. I think it would be awful, but that's can't rule it out.
I gotta go Aaron Wolf with a definitive 1-2-3 cover of Tokyo Sports. I can't. It's again, it's New Japan, and we love to have first matches and have them look at the lights because it makes sense, but in this particular case, I feel like he's gotta win this match.
Yeah, I think him losing would be unacceptable. Then they'd just be like, oh, this is just another guy.
Yep.
Just another jobber. Not a jobber, but like...
middle of the pack. Yep. Yeah, and that's the last thing we need right now.
And the last thing I need right now is to continue this podcast. I don't know. I was looking for a segue to wrap up. But yeah, we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back. Myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.